The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John.
Glory to you, Lord.
On the evening of the first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father sent me, so I send you." And when he said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now, Thomas, called Didymus, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the nail marks, and put my hand on his side, I will not believe." Now a week later, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas was with them. Jesus came, though the doors were locked, and he stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your fingers here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it on my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you come to believe because you have seen? Blessed are those who have not seen, but believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples. They are not written in this book, but they are written. But these words are written so that you can believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that through this belief, you may have life. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Once again, I want to greet all of you who are at home today, tuning in to Facebook Live and this Mass of the second Sunday of Easter, and also what we have come to call in the church Divine Mercy Sunday. And so I set up a little bit of a different camera angle today. If you cannot see this image of Divine Mercy because the comments on Facebook Live are in the way, you just swipe right on your screen and those comments will disappear. So there's a little lesson in Facebook Live. My goodness, there are so many things that I could preach about on this Sunday. We could talk about the actions of the early Christian community, the apostles, and how the early community of God and Jesus Christ were living in such a beautiful manner, particularly focused on the teachings of the apostles, the communal life, and the breaking of the bread, the daily mass they were celebrating, and that was being celebrated by them. We certainly could focus on, and we always want to focus on, the teaching of Christ to us about the sacrament of confession, because in this gospel, we hear Jesus give his apostles specifically the ministry of forgiving sins. And so they receive this charism from Jesus, who breathes on them, says, "Receive the Holy Spirit," and then says to them, "The sins that you forgive are forgiven. The sins you retain are retained." So from that moment on, this apostolic ministry of mercy has been offered to the church through the sacrament of confession and reconciliation. But Divine Mercy Sunday, we've talked about this, I think, for many years now, and we don't always understand, maybe know, the great graces and ways that we can live out this devotion and what it promises us. So I want to start off with an image. It was an artist, fairly famous artist, who painted many religious paintings and well over 100 years ago or more. His name was William Holman Hunt. One of his famous paintings was of Jesus standing at the door of a very humble home, knocking on the door. But if you look closely at this painting, you will notice something kind of odd. You can miss it if you're not really looking. The door that he's knocking on in this home has no doorknob. There's no way for Jesus to get in to this home on his own. But he's knocking at this door. So the artist did this, of course, on purpose. The idea is that this is the door of our souls, of our spiritual life. This is the door of each and every person who needs to open the door from the inside and let Christ in. When we open this door, what happens? When we respond to God and the invitation of Jesus who is knocking on this door. Maybe you could say in this day and age is knocking loudly on this door. What happens when we open, even just a little bit? You might say that a flood of mercy and grace and the love of Jesus comes into that home. A flood of mercy and grace and love comes into that soul. A flood of mercy. An ocean. A vast ocean of mercy is being offered to every soul. Jesus wants to come in. When Saint Faustina was receiving these messages from Jesus, and even received the image that we see here. Initially, she received a vision of Christ
who showed himself in this way. And then he told her, I want you to paint this image. I want this image to be seen.
And I want a devotion
to be built up. And I want people to know of my great mercy for them.
I want people to know this
prayer.
Jesus, I trust in you. And so she gave us what Jesus gave us through St. Faustina,
this image and this message of mercy, which wasn't different from anything else that the gospel had already taught us, but re-emphasizing the need for us to make Jesus Christ the center of our lives, to open the door to Jesus
and his great healing mercy, which heals, sanctifies, saves our souls.
So let me just speak
briefly about what
has come to be known as four specific promises of this devotion to the Divine Mercy.
Four promises
that have been revealed to us by Jesus through St. Faustina, but they're a part of our faith,
the deposit of faith
in Jesus.
So we want to focus in
on this for the
salvation of the world. Jesus, who is our Savior, said one of the promises
of this devotion to Divine Mercy is defense.
One, a defense
from particular judgment. So we know that the Holy Spirit, the Blessed Mother, the saints of God come to our defense when we go before God.
to show the Heavenly Father the goodness of our souls, the desire we have to be saved, to be holy. All that is a part of our desire to love God and to love others. But also Jesus comes to our defense against the evil one, who certainly prowls about the world seeking the ruin of souls. Jesus defends us with his divine mercy to say to the devil, I've already won the victory for this soul. The second promise is mercy. The notion of mercy that teaches us how to love, how to forgive, how to be Christ for others, who teaches us about the beauty and dignity of human life, a mercy that also we have to respond to. The Lord is offering us this kind of mercy through the sacraments of the church and through our prayer, through our love for each other, but we have to respond to it. We have to welcome it, open the door to it. The Lord wants to sanctify us through his merciful love. He is not just judge, but at the same time, in a simultaneous way, he is mercy. And in that combination, he sanctifies the soul that says yes to him. The third promise is hope. We know that the Lord is there to defend us. If we open that door to mercy, then what also floods into the mind and the heart of every person is a hope for eternal life. This life is difficult, and certainly we know this better than maybe we ever have in our history, in the history of our world, but in our particular history, our lives. But there's suffering that is going on in the world that has nothing to do with the coronavirus. People who are sick, who are struggling from addiction, who are struggling from mental illness, who are struggling from the diseases of the world, who are just struggling with sin upon sin. But mercy and forgiveness instills hope even to all of us who are wounded and need of healing. So hope prevails. But also the fourth promise is an answer to prayers. Jesus answers our prayers according to his will. What an important lesson, by the way, to the desire for our prayers to be answered. God does not answer prayers according to our will. He listens to our desire and prayers, but it's his will that must prevail. And so God does not obey us. We obey God. But God certainly hears us. He hears the cry of the poor. He hears the prayers of our hearts. He knows our needs. He knows what we need even before we ask. He'll answer those prayers. So on this feast day, the solemn celebration of divine mercy on the second Sunday, there are a few things that we want to think about with this devotion. One, we celebrate this feast. This feast is important so that the message of mercy and God's divine mercy is known. But also, the Lord gave us this image of divine mercy, where from the sight of the Lord, the rays of blood and water come forth. His mercy is being poured out. Like from the cross, the sacramental life of the church, especially in the Eucharist and baptism, are being poured out. The Lord is calling us to mercy. And also in this image, there's that simple prayer, but powerful. Jesus, I trust in you. We pray the novena to divine mercy, the 9 days before this Sunday, which starts universally on Good Friday. So we want to keep praying. There's no meaning. You can pray at any time. Don't pray just those days. But the 9-day prayer to divine mercy is a beautiful way to live this devotion. Along with that, praying the chaplet of divine mercy. If you don't know how to pray the chaplet, if you just use rosary beads, look it up online. The chaplet of divine mercy. It's a simple prayer. It doesn't take long to pray, 5 to 7 minutes or so. And it's powerful. I've been told and come to understand that it's an extension of the Mass, that prayer. You pray the Mass, and then that prayer, that devotion, is prayed where we ask the Lord to extend and continue to pour out mercy upon the world. But also every day at 3 o'clock, we have what's called the Hour of Mercy. Since the Lord, we believe, on that Good Friday was lifted up at that hour on the cross. The Hour of Mercy daily is a powerful hour of prayer. Maybe also look up that beautiful painting image by William Holman Hunt of Jesus knocking on the door. Maybe it's time for us, for you in particular, you would know, we have to look interiorly. Maybe it's time for you to open the door and let Jesus and that flood, that ocean of mercy and love and forgiveness, to pour it in. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.